Glad you're with us on KCRW.
I'm Matt Gillum.
Welcome back to This Week in Weed. Let's be blunt. Governor Gavin Newsom has firmly come out on the side of cannabis lately. With fewer than 2 months to go before the midterms, he recently signed a range of pot proposals into law dealing with everything from employment protections to a sort of waiting in the wings measure that would open up California to interstate cannabis commerce. Joining us with a look at some of the new laws is Leafly senior editor David Downs. Hey, David.
Hey, Matt.
All right, so we have touched on some of these measures in our past sessions, but they're actually going on the books now. Were you surprised things like the bill laying out workplace protections for cannabis users or the provisional interstate commerce measure got the green light by the governor?
I was not surprised. They're long in coming. The employment discrimination bill had been in Sacramento since 2008 when Senator Mark Leno brought it up. So it really took a while to bend the arc of justice a little bit there. And then the interstate issue continues to be salient with California growing so much cannabis and wanting to move it around. And the cultivators saying they're in such pain. It came after the cultivation tax was lifted, which was a big move for the governor this year. Governor Gavin Newsom signed 10 cannabis bills, which is quite a selection. And in his signing statement, the tone was very striking. He noted that he, quoted, wanted to strengthen legalization here in California, expand the opportunities of it, and redress the harms of the war on drugs. And he specifically called out local opposition, as well as rigid bureaucracy, quote unquote, and federal prohibition for not creating an industry that's equitable enough, safe enough, or sustainable enough.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about that signing statement. I mean, he was very precise in his language, and he was calling on lawmakers and leaders to address some of those issues like bureaucracy and local opposition. But I mean, can a lot of hearts and minds be swayed in communities that don't want pot at this point?
I think they can. This industry is so hamstrung, and the will of the voters is not being done. And the legislature and the governor's office sees that, and they worked on it, and they've created some incremental changes that aren't everything, but they're chipping away at the problems. When he calls out local opposition and rigid bureaucracy, he's talking about places like Los Angeles, where, you know, they have as big of a population as Oklahoma, but only one-tenth the stores open. We're getting ready to do the cannabis harvest report in 2022 here at Leafly, and we think stores that are open can satisfy less than half of the state's demand. This industry is bottlenecked at the retail level, and they get that. When you look at the stuff that was signed, you see evidence of that. A real bellwether for me is Senate Bill 1186 from Senator Scott Wiener. This is the one that prevents medical marijuana delivery bans at the local levels. And it really speaks to how far we have to go, because we have cities claiming a right to prevent an old lady from getting a topical delivered to her house for arthritis pain. Just the medical side of thing, which we legalized in 1996. And this bill is saying you can't do that, locals. And it doesn't even address cities' perceived right to ban delivery services, which again is tied into the retail bottleneck.
When it comes to AB 1706, the one dealing with expunging old convictions, in the governor's statement for this bill, he said that it would help unwind the state's failed history of cannabis prohibitions. What are your thoughts on that? What do you make of that?
It's true. You can wave a wand at the federal state level and say, we want to expunge convictions. But so much is happening at the city level and the county level in those court buildings, which are filled with old papers. And millions of people have a cannabis conviction on their record that just slimes their record. They can't get it off. It sticks on there. We are learning about how hard it is to unwind the war on drugs vis-a-vis these records. And that has really big implications for people's lives. I hear from patients who are saying, I can't be a childcare provider because I smoked a joint in the 70s and I have a felony on my record back in the time when California was arresting 100,000 people a year for cannabis. California is just one state in a country where this type of work is going to have to be done. And it's leading the way in terms of creating actual mandates and deadlines and guidance.
One of the new laws the governor signed deals with cannabis event licenses. They are very expensive. And you know, weed festivals where consumption is allowed are seemingly very rare. How is this going to change that? I mean, do you think it would help LA up its cannabis happenings?
Yeah. So there's all these weird rules about where the cannabis comes from at the event and which distributor can service it and what the licensees have to do. And event promoters saying, this is just not workable. This stuff is not plutonium. We need to be able to take unsold inventory back to the office afterwards. We need to be able to use a bar for a night and just not serve alcohol. And the existing law made it such that if you had a bar license on a property, you couldn't get a cannabis event license. This is moving the ball forward. In the city of LA, I do not expect to see cannabis event licensing moving forward at any swift pace. Most people are going out to places like Adelanto to throw a good pot party. There's one called Kushstock right now. And again, it requires local regulatory innovation to even create an event license. And the inertia is not on the side of cannabis people in terms of wanting to throw those events. The locals need a push now, it seems, from the state.
Okay, let's turn to high-potency weed and hemp products. The governor sees them as a potential health and safety issue and has directed state departments to look into them. Is he onto something there, or is this a case of California trying to sniff out something more to regulate?
A little bit of both. We do have the cannabis flower runs up to 20 or 30% THC by weight. When you do extractions, you can get a product that's 99% THC, for example, which is like the federal FDA approved Marinol THC pill. There's probably going to be more direction from Western states with regard to those higher potency THC products, the way there is for alcohol and the way there's tranches for beer versus malt liquors versus distilled spirits. And I think the state of California is going to start wading into that now and seeing if there's more to do to push people to use lower potency products that are potentially better suited for them.
Let's wrap it up with sort of a look back, I guess. It's been about a year since the recall, and Gavin Newsom is again going to be on the ballot in November. After last year's special election, we talked about what he needed to do to make the cannabis industry happy. Do you think he's succeeded, and do these new laws help?
Gavin's been a national and historical leader on cannabis policy, and he knows what time it is, and he continues to work toward a lot of what the industry objectives are. He's cutting red tape. He's giving cities the fines ability they need to deal with the black market or the illicit market, rather. And he understands that the industry isn't sustainable enough now, and he cut the cultivation tax. You don't really see a lot of taxes go down in California. And the governor took care of that this year. He knows that it's a salient issue for national voters. Everybody's eyes are on California. They want to see it work here. If it doesn't make it work, it's a liability for him. And from these actions, to me, it's clear that he gets what's going on and is committed to solutions.
We said Gavin knows what time it is. What time is it?
It's 4:20.
We've been chatting pot policy with Leafly senior editor David Downs. Thanks, as always, for joining us, David.
Thanks.